I would like to spend the next few minutes to share with you the experience we have on the spatial analysis of massive georeferenced EO monitor data. I guess to set stage for my talk, I guess we need to talk about the concept of precision agriculture. It means differently to different people. So for people like myself, work with a plan. So we're talking about agronomy trials. So we traditional agronomy trials basically try to get the best practice prescription and let the farmer to apply uniformly to their field. Despite the fact that the field is very variable. So basically, it's trying to meet the average needs across the whole field. So there is an improvement to that practice that you can sample the soil or plants at different locations in the field and then try to develop a response function and try to generalize that using that function generalize the whole for the whole field. So that worked to a certain extent, but still it may not apply to the place you sampled. So that comes to precision farming practice. That's basically the site-specific management to meet actual need, crop needs at a specific site of the field. So for some extended people, it basically comes down to 4 hours. You apply the right input at the right month and in the right place and at the right time. Okay? And so basically, if you want to do precision farming, you need to have your data come along with your geographic coordinates. So there are many such data, like from previous talk, we have EC data or underground, and then you can have ear monitor data from above ground. So I'm going to focus on just EO data in this talk. So basically, the ear monitor is a device mounted on GPS equipped combine that record crop yield and the location of that particular point. And so data can be displayed in a color-coded spatial map like on the left bottom here. And so you can usually, this is where the usual use of these maps that farmers use these maps to do variable rate applications. Some applied research people can do some on-farm strip trials that apply to have some fertilizer or cultivar or other treatment on simple imposed on the yield. And so that can be done too. So just adding different layers. So anyhow, I'm come back to the yield monitor data. There are lots of junk. So just give you some idea. It's usually you're going to figure out about 10 to 30% of your raw data. So some of these adjustments actually relates to the flow delay and the start and pass delay, that kind of stuff. So fortunately, we have this software developed by USDA. It's called Ear Editor. So as a matter of fact, in the version 2, the current version, it has this auto filter feature. So you just have to press that button. You don't have to worry about that much. And yeah, so a lot of actually farm equipment has incorporated that software. So in terms of analysis of these massive ear monitor data, the simplest is the eyeballing. So you just looking at the map, and then you make a decision. So it's subjective and can be misleading. And usually, like the map is the end, the result. So that's why a lot of farmers like, oh, this is a very nice map. So they put a lot of emphasis on that. A step further, we can have some average statistics that averaged by field, by zone, by county, okay? And some classic statistical analysis, like ANOVA regression. The only problem with that, with this technique, is that it's assumed all the observations are independent, which we know for this kind of data it's not, because they're spatial dependent. So that comes to spatial statistical analysis I'm going to talk about. Okay, so we heard about in the previous talks that, so basically the spatial statistics is sometimes called geostatistics. So the key parameter here is the semivariogram, and I'm not going to in detail. So basically, if you look at the diagram at the bottom, so you have a whole bunch of the points, the data points in a field, from a field. And so you're just trying to group these data points into some group that are certain distance apart, okay? And then you calculate the semivariogram. It's basically a dissimilarity index, okay? So then if your calculation is all done, and then you get this semivariogram plot, and so previous talk talked about the so basically you get, so the reason we want to have this is that because we want to know how far we have to worry about these dependence, okay? So, and there's a lot of function coherence functions you can fit to this. And so one of the important aspects of the geostatistics is trying to predict or interpolate the data. For example, so you have a whole bunch of these data, and there's one data point I want to have, this red dot I want to have, but it's not in the data. So I want to use my neighboring data point to estimate or interpolate this data point. So that's called, that comes the technique of Cregan. If you know SAS or some other method, so it's basically essentially the same as blob in mixed model analysis, okay? And that's nice, but the problem with that method is that's what we call ordinary Cregan, that you have to have the big computing power, which we already have, but when you have a massive data, it's still not enough. So we still have to look for computational less demanding method like these, nearest neighbor, weighted moving average, block Cregan, and or spline. So anyhow, that's enough of an overview of the method. So I'm going to talk about the case study I have. So there's this a farm in Western Canada, in Alberta, in Western Canada. So we have five data from five farms, but I'm going to just focus on this particular farm, Ellis Farm. So just give you some idea of what kind of data we're looking at. So we're looking for, look at the four-year data from 2008 to 2011. And it's a different crop in different years. And just give you some idea about the amount of data for each year. And because the density are different, so you can see the number of points that are different. But nevertheless, you can see they are very large, right? Okay, so I talked about the ER editor. So you go through the ER editor or your own R program. You can filter out a lot of junks. Like on the left hand side, the raw data, and on the right hand side, it's clean data on each of these four panels. So you can see we filter out a lot of junks. And the other problem with this, because it's a different class. If you analyze the raw data, it's a comparing apple orange. So you want to standardize your data to get rid of the scanning effect. And so we did some analysis. We evaluated these different methods. So we evaluated a total of seven methods. So for each of these data, 4 year data. So basically this is the accuracy measurement of our method. So the higher of correlation, the better fit of the data. So it the better accuracy of prediction. And so this is based on five-fold cross-validation method. So as you can see, the three local Cregan methods perform very good. And some are other methods like the inverse distance square distance method looks promising as well. This is corresponding very well with the prediction error. So because now the prediction error of the three Cregan local Cregan methods are actually the lowest among all the methods. Okay, so in conclusion, so when you get the method data, so you have to have these like the ER editor to clean up your data before you do the analysis. The regular Cregan method can be used, but when you have a very large data like ours, it's hard. So because we don't have enough computing power, so we need to use some of these less intensive, less demanding, computationally demanding methods. So that's what we have tried. And look like the local Cregan method is the best in terms of prediction accuracy and prediction errors. So basically, like this is the result. This is very preliminary, and so it's a part of our ongoing research, trying to integrate above and below ground data for optimum farm level decision making in Alberta and Western Canada. So basically, this is sort of what we're trying to do in the future. We'll hopefully presenting a more complete picture in future ASA meetings. So basically, right now we're just focused on the top layers, but we have those other data we haven't touched yet, like the treatment layers and the EC or soil testing data and some other agroclimatic data we have. We haven't touched those yet. But once, yeah, we're going to do those. And then once we have all these, and we want to come up with an optimum model for site-specific management practice for the farmers. Anyhow, with that, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors. So basically, most of computational stuff is done by research associate Dr. Zhiqiu Fu, and the master student has done a lot of literature search, and my two collaborators providing data and answering some of our student questions, because I'm a stats guy, so I don't know anything about the farming and stuff. But anyhow, and then the funding by Arvada Corp industry funding and answer. With that, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Which software did you use for the local Creed?
R. We wrote our own software. R. Wow. Yeah. Eventually we will make it freely available on web.
Yeah. How is the local Creed community?
We didn't for this state. Yeah, we tried a small data set. Subset, yeah, they're comparable, yeah, but the full data set we can't because it's too big. You have to solve like 10,000 over 10,000 by 10,000 covariance metrics.
What type of yield monitor was used to capture the data?
I think it's a John Deere. This one is a John Deere's. They bought it with your monitor, so it's from John Deere.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes.